It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A new book set in Wisconsin's North Woods is an account from inside a fictional, tight-knit Anishinaabe tribe called Passage Rouge Nation.
The tribal community is fighting amongst themselves for political power in the days leading up to an especially tense election for tribal president.
The story is told through the eyes of Mitch Caddo, a young lawyer who runs the tribal government alongside his childhood friend and current tribal president, Mac Beck. The book follows Mitch as he and his opponents try to sway the vote of the people of Passage Rouge by any means necessary.
John Hickey is an enrolled member of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians, and he's a UW-Madison alum. He joins us to talk about his debut novel. It's called Big Chief. John, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. It's very exciting to be here.
When you were thinking about when you started conceiving the fictional Passage Rouge Nation, are there elements of the tribe or the reservation that were actually inspired by your time with your own tribal community, the Lac des Flambeaux?
Yes, I think that when I began the book, that nation was going through quite a bit of turmoil. Better now. it is inspired by that. It's inspired by a lot of the other reservations in Minnesota, Wisconsin that I came across in my research and through my observations.
You talk about the banishment and, you know, blood quantum, like who is banished, thrown off the reservation for not having an adequate tribal bloodline connection. How do you make this type of belonging a central tension of the book?
I realized I was always writing about belongingness in, you know, my previous short stories and novel attempts. I think that, you know, when I came across politics as a, you know, tribal politics as a subject, you know, this was the central place where identity and belongingness is defined and codified in official terms. And, you know, that as you brought up, blood quantum and enrollment is such a heated issue. And it cuts right to the bone because it defines who you are and how you belong to a people. And that just struck me as, you know, when I was doing my research and I was encountering these things about disenrollment and banishment, it struck me that this was as close as you can get to, like, you know, just harming somebody's sense of themselves.
John, let's talk more about Mitch Caddo. He runs this casino on the reservation. He's pretty fresh out of law school. And he's also running this re-election campaign for his childhood friend. You label him in some parts of the book as the J. Crew Indian. What is Mitch's work like?
Yes, the J. Crew Indian. In the beginning of the book, he sets it out that he's doing a lot of the day-to-day, maybe the more boring side of the governance work, while Mac gets to be a sort of figurehead, a sort of symbol. And in that way, he feels like this is his way of insinuating himself back into the community that he feels somewhat estranged by, because he is an outsider. He has left the reservation. He is seen as somebody who is different for many reasons, you know, just visually, you know, the way that he talks, the fact that, you know, he spent so much time away from that, from Passage Rouge. He feels marked as an outsider, and this is his way of fixing that.
He's always, you know, trying to feel the spirit of his mother, Ronnie, yeah. A social worker. She ran the tribe's family services department. She's killed in a really terrible car accident that you set up right away in the beginning of the book. And, you know, Mitch just can't feel his mom's spirit. What does that do to him?
Yeah. A few things. I mean, it is a very, you know, she is, of course, the central parental figure in his life. His father's not in the picture. So he does lose that sense of family, right? He doesn't have a center. He doesn't have a moral center, because I feel like she's the source of, you know, whatever moral compass that he has. On a very elemental level, she's his connection to the community. She's the last, you know, family that he, well, knows about on the reservation. So without her, he's feeling unanchored. And that's one of the main things he's trying to do throughout the book, is heal that disconnection, you know, find ways of replacing that source of connection.
Another woman in his life is Layla. Mitch and Layla, they grow up around each other on the reservation. You know, Mitch is taken care of by Layla's father, and, you know, they have love interests there. But why do they seem to get each other so deeply, but that doesn't work for each other at the same time?
They do share, say, certain ambitions, maybe a certain unease about being, I suppose, young and educated and living on the reservation and trying to find a spot, find their place within that milieu. They share this contradiction within themselves, which is that, you know, you want to be in this place, you want to have this connection, and yet you also want to be out in the world. And, you know, balancing those competing urges, I think, unites them. But the way that they see the solution to that is probably a little bit different.
Mitch is so thoroughly exhausted in the span of these 5 days. I mean, he's going through a lot. I'm wondering, as a writer, did you feel that exhaustion inside of you as well?
it took me a few years to write this book, so I feel like there were a few
exhaustion.
Times.
Prolonged exhaustion.
Yeah, you know, I always say that I started this book the same year that my first son was born, like in 2016. So I would not be surprised if my sleepless nights somehow translated into the pages.
Is there a character you like the most in this book, or a character who evolved for you and you now gravitate to?
Mac was one of the biggest surprises to me as I wrote these drafts, because he was not a central character in the very first draft of this. He started to get more lines, a little bit more time in scene with each revision, until a certain point where I was realizing that as the writer, you know, I was calling him in to, you know, to liven up the scene. And I was like, wow, this guy seems more like the main character here. And of course, once I let him in a little bit, Mac just completely took over. But it's more than that. It's the arc that he has throughout the book. The more that I learned about him, the more I was, you know, just fascinated by how, you know, you have this character who, you know, is kind of a bomb thrower. He delights in trolling people a little bit. But he's also got, you know, these very, very strong griefs that he hasn't gotten over. You know, to some extent, the things that he's doing are meant to address these wounds that he's carrying around.
We're talking with author John Hickey. New novel is called Big Chief, and it explores themes of identity, belonging, and tribal politics. It's set on the fictional Passage Rouge Reservation in Wisconsin's North Woods. John, you paint such beautiful and very chilling images of the brutal, you know, Wisconsin winter. Can you read a passage for us and give us a taste of that?
Certainly, yeah. Part of writing this book was, I've been in San Francisco for 16 years, so I was trying to call up the memories of what it felt like to be in that winter. So here's a passage. "You're a lone black figure on a field of white. The snow is falling harder, and somehow it's falling sideways and hitting like double-aught buckshot. This is the deceptive beauty of the Passage Rouge Reservation. Its beauty slipping into grotesque terror while you watch helplessly. Yesterday was so sunny and warm. Tonight it's winter, baboon, coming with both barrels.
So the cold and the snow and that chronic shiver that follows Mitch Caddo, you know, throughout the book, there's the contrast, though, with the images of fire and the bonfires and the sacred fires and fireplaces. You know, what do those two elements mean thematically?
It felt like, we could draw some, maybe some easy conclusions, you know, that the fire is the warmth of family and love, and the cold is the rejection of the same. Like I said, you know, like a lot of this was, for me, writing from such a distance was re-experiencing what it felt like to live in a place like Wisconsin, like Minnesota up north. So dealing with the subject, you know, that which is, you know, a lot of extremes, you know, political extremes, you know, the extremes of violence. I was drawn to these descriptions of extreme cold and extreme heat.
You had to persevere in this book. You know, there were much longer iterations of this novel. And I'm wondering how you stuck with the writing process and if you have any tips for rewrites and taking that feedback to collapse and edit and go shorter.
I mean, some of it is ignorance of what's left to come, right? You know, that if I thought about all the work that I had to do in the beginning, then I'd probably find it more difficult to persevere. I always say that you know, the one thing you cannot teach in a workshop in a creative writing program is patience, and just being able to sit in the discomfort of having this thing that's not complete. It's not something you can really study, but you know, that's just the only thing that gets you through, is just having this patience. And I've been doing this for, I mean, it's been about 20 years since I started graduate school. So time has a different meaning than when I began.
After finishing this writing project and this book, do you feel differently about the Lac de Flambeau, or do you feel any different connection now that you have finished this?
Well, I'll tell you, in regards to the book, I was worried that I got something completely wrong, and that somebody who, you know, is from the area, or somebody who has worked in tribal government, was going to come to one of my readings and embarrass me or say something mean to me. It's been really great to have these people show up at the readings to tell me that, you know, they found something that they identified with, or that they were happy that this story had been written, because they don't see it in other places. So I think that's probably made me feel a little bit closer to the people. I haven't been back since the book came out, so I don't know.
You don't know the fallout.
I don't know how that's I don't know how that's going to go. My brother went and they were asking, "Are you the author?" And he said no, and I don't know what they had in store for him if he had said yes. So to be determined.
As we close, can you talk a little bit about the cover and the design of the cover and what it means to you?
One of the things that I always said, you know, I'm an indigenous writer, or I'm a writer who's indigenous. And I always assumed that they would put a feather on my cover.
Which they did. Yes. In
which
small,
they did. It's
in
right
the
there.
Right corner. Yes.
It's rather tasteful, I think. But, you know, in a way, you know, as I was considering it, I wrote a book about people that are very concerned with surfaces and symbols and images. When I was looking for a cover, I wanted something that used maybe familiar iconography, over-familiar iconography and reclaim it in a way, you know, in a sort of ironic way. The name of the book is called Big Chief, you know, so it's playing with, you know, some of those, you know, preconceptions and symbols in a way that I think reclaims them.
John, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
This was fantastic. Thank you for having me.
John Hickey is an author from Minnesota. He's an enrolled member of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians in Wisconsin, and his debut novel is called Big Chief. It's a political drama which takes place on the fictional Passage Ruse Reservation in the Northwoods of Wisconsin.